Welcome back to From the Ground Up with Mark Weller. I'm Matt Rienzo here with Mark Weller. Mark, what's going on? How you doing?
Awesome. Things are just incredible. It's summertime. I'm always excited about the summertime.
Yeah, summer's the best. DC area. We're excited for it. And we're excited for today's show too. So we've had a lot of different types of high-level executives on the show. But today we have a really unique podcast for our listeners that'll span sports, philanthropy, community, and helping people and families who've been affected by cancer, among many other things. I'm really excited. It's a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, Mark, and we'll get into that in a little bit as well. But before we do that, I just wanted to kind of preface this show. You know, we close every podcast with a tagline, keep building, people. And, you know, that's kind of, as my dad would say, that's a double entendre. On this pod, we, of course, talk about real estate and construction and development, finance, marketing, all that stuff. But when we say keep building people, we're also talking about building community with real human beings. And in this case today, it refers to kids, children, students, families, parents, moms, dads, brothers and sisters, cancer patients, cancer survivors, and their loved ones. And that, to me, that's where this show sits. So no matter who you are or what you do for a living, I think you're going to like this podcast and you'll find it insightful. So let's jump right in. Today we have Cheryl Calalori, president and Headstrong Foundation, president of the Headstrong Foundation, and Ken Clawson, former All-American at UVA and former pro lacrosse player and coach. Now Ken is the national director of Attack Cancer for the Headstrong Foundation. This is going to be a lot of fun. Let's invite Cheryl and Ken onto the pod.
Welcome, Cheryl and Ken. Thanks for being with us today.
Mark, we're absolutely thrilled to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about Headstrong, how it started, and what you and your team are doing.
Sure. But, you know, before I do that, you know, it's funny, it like from the ground up, and it just really resonated with me because it's how we've built the Headstrong Foundation from the ground up, right? The organization was not started with a endowment, right? It was started with a $67 purchase of shoelaces and a little four-team memorial tournament in memory of, you know, our founder, my son. That kind of like it kicked off the organization. And one word that we use all the time is building community, right? It's really important that, you know, we surround ourselves with great people to help us carry forth, you know, our mission of improving lives affected by cancer. You know, my son, Nick, was a sophomore at Hofstra University. He had a very successful freshman career. He went into the coach, and that team was like second in the nation, stacked, 18 All-Americans. And he's like, I'm not coming here to sit on your bench. Coach kind of was taken back by Nick. And, you know, Nick really had this really hard-nosed, blue-collar, hard work ethic. And he ended up playing in all 17 games of his freshman year, really made a name for himself. And during his sophomore year, my son Michael joined Nick as a freshman. So Nicholas and Michael were roommates and teammates and fulfilling a childhood dream of playing at a Division I level together. And Nick experienced a sudden onset of a stuffy right nostril. And, you know, it came out of the blue, and we talked it off to fall allergies. And I just wouldn't kind of let it go as a mother. I just had this, you know, this gut telling me like, keep pursuing a little bit. The result was we were blindsided. Nick was diagnosed with an acute lymphoma, and we didn't have the first clue about cancer, but we knew one thing, that we were going to, you know, put on our game faces, and we were going to approach this disease the way that we approached everything in the lives of our children. And Nick's attitude was incredible, relentless. And we began a 14-month battle with cancer. And during our inpatient stay, which were many over those 14
And what
months,
year was that again? Sorry.
This was in 2005.
Okay.
You know, Nick began to experience the lack of available resources to patients. Like, why isn't this available? Why is there such, you know, quietness on the floor? You know, why is there, you know, what can I do to combat the loneliness? What can I do to help these people through their anxiety? And he said, you know, Mom, I'm going to switch my major. You know, we're like, what are you talking about? You always wanted to be an elementary ed teacher. he said, you know, his thought process was there wasn't enough positive male influences in our youth today. And this was just kind of the type of person that Nick was.
Wow.
And he began to create the Headstrong Foundation from his hospital bed. He was going into the OR for a procedure. He was actually getting a triple Hickman placed in his chest in preparation for a bone marrow transplant. And he asked me for a piece of paper and pencil. I only had a napkin. And so he took it. He's doodling. He's on the gurney waiting to go in. And as he's being wheeled in, he turns it around and he said, you know, here's the logo. I said, the logo for what? He said, for the organization, the foundation that I'm starting.
That is so cool.
And, you know, I just couldn't believe it. And really, it was a wonderful vehicle for Nick to escape the realities that he was dealing with as he just went head first. No pun intended, but head first into the Headstrong Foundation, naming it, the color palette, the fonts, you know, the lime green, which represents the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that that Nick had. And, you know, he just created the short-term, long-term goals. You know, one of the things that he wanted to do was build good citizens. And, you know, he said, it's not good enough for you, our youth, to be good lacrosse players. They need to be good citizens first. And, you know, I want this to be a vehicle, an avenue to spread the awareness is through his brotherhood, through lacrosse. And, you know, he just kept at it. And now we fast forward to November of 2006. And this is after, you know, months of chemo, a bone marrow transplant, 7 weeks of radiation, and none of that would combat this cancer. So here I am, you know, not able to fix a situation, which is the worst thing for a mother, because
that's all we want as parents. You just
that's exactly what we do. Yeah. And we're being sent home on hospice. I didn't even understand what that term meant. And, you know, we were away from home for such a long period of time that the hospital, quite frankly, became our home. And, you know, we got into the car. At this point, my son is in a wheelchair. So he was a 215-pound bull. And he's now 100 pounds in a wheelchair. How is this even happening? How is this even possible? We go home on hospice. I thought he looked fabulous, right? You know, the mind can really play some games on us. And it really kind of hid just how sick Nick was, because I just kept thinking this, there's no way possible that he's not going to make this. As we're getting in the car, he takes the keys from my husband. He said, Dad, get in the back. I need to talk to Mom. And we put him in the car, and we got before we pulled out of the parking garage. He said, Mom, I want to talk to you three things. And he said, he was holding my hands and looking. He said, look into my eyes, Mom. Three things you have to promise me. One, that I will be buried in my Hofstra uniform. Two, that there will be a scholarship at Ridley so that other athletes could have opportunity like the one that he had. And three, and he said, most importantly, I need you to take the foundation to the heights that it can go. I thought, what? You know, I was dumbfounded to think that he could be so selfless at a time in his life where he could be selfish. He was not. And unbeknownst to us, he became a servant leader. He became the first servant leader, and we now follow his lead. But he said to me, I want other people who follow in my footsteps to benefit from my life. And those words, even still to this day, are hard for me to think about. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, I didn't even know what day of the week it was, let alone how was I going to, you know, do this. Additionally, we were hit very, very heavily financially from Nick's illness. I took a leave of absence from work. It was an unpaid leave. And that's not easy when you have four children and you're trying to pay a mortgage and keep afloat. You know, you remove an income, and it's detrimental. As a matter of fact, 60% of all personal bankruptcies in our country is due to a cancer diagnosis.
Wow.
So I knew that I had to go back to work. And but Nick's words kept resonating with me. And you know, when you go through the loss of a child, or, and it doesn't have to be cancer, it could be anything, you know, it's something that I can't even describe it today. I'm not the same person or the same mother that I was. then everything changes. And then when I went back to work, which I had to, I started to see things through different eyes. And I was, you know, I'm really not liking what I'm seeing here. And I just kept being drawn to the cancer community. And, you know, we just, this Headstrong just kind of evolved. And we knew that it really needed to be managed. And the need is just so tremendous. And we realized that Headstrong was a gift. And it was a mechanism for our family to learn how to live without Nick, to be able to fulfill the promise that, you know, I made to my son, and to uplift families in their darkest days. And, you know, the Headstrong Foundation has really evolved as a true resource for families in the cancer arena. We've generated over $28 million in revenue, and that continues to grow every day. And more importantly, we've touched over 27,000 lives. And we get about 250 requests a week for assistance. Not always easy to manage that, but we do our best. And, you know, we get personally involved and connected with the families that are just like ours, that are walking in, we're walking mm-hmm. in those same shoes. So it's just been a tremendous reward, you know, to witness the growth of the organization and to see our depth within the sport. It's been an incredible journey. And, you know, I have to give thanks to Nick for really trusting us. You know, he placed this in my hands, and I'm just honored to lead the charge.
It's amazing to hear.
15 years later.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what you all have done. And it's also amazing to hear his courage and his almost wisdom and maturity at such a young age.
Absolutely.
You've told me that story before, and it's just, gosh, it's unbelievable that he had that foresight to think that way. Just for our listeners, we've talked about lacrosse a few times on this show, and I know, you know, Mark and I are deeply entrenched in the lacrosse world. I used to be a coach, in college for 11 years, before getting into real estate. And so I have a significant background. I've been coaching for the last 25 years, even after getting out of as a career. But when I was coaching at Georgetown from 2002 to 2011, I remember seeing the green nets and the green laces and not knowing what it was, and knowing it was a Hofstra thing, and I heard the story, and I always found it interesting, but I never was personally drawn into it just because of my relationships and connections and things. I just wasn't, you know, ever on a team that was focused on it or in a tournament that was focused on it. So, but I always knew about it, and it resonated with me, and I thought about it. And then I lost my mom as well to cancer, when I was 22. So, you know, the convergence of, you know, my life experience and then learning about Headstrong for me, was really interesting. And Mark, Weller, actually, even though I'm the lacrosse guy for the last 40 years and coaching for 25 years, Mark actually brought me in to know you all, which I'm thankful for. And, I wanted to ask Mark, you know, how did you connect with them to then bring me into this equation?
Well, that's a good question. As everybody can remember, not that long ago, we had lockdowns in the United States of America, and the state of Maryland decided that kids weren't allowed to go to school. So I had a friend who was working down at IMG, running football, and Brian Griffin, and I called him. I said, what's it like down there? He said, come check it out. Within a few weeks, my kids were going to school at IMG, and I was lucky enough to meet Brett Moyer. And Brett got us signed up for a tournament in Georgia, in Augusta, Georgia, and it was all about Headstrong, and it was a fundraising event, and it was a focus event. And I started reading up on it, and I was so moved by the story that I immediately made a donation from my family and I. And we got to know them, and Jack, you know, unbeknownst to me, you know, sort of fit the category of essentially the Nick Award that weekend.
And your son, Jack,
my son, Jack. Yeah, I'm sorry. And which was really a honey badger type attitude, scrapper, not necessarily, you know, the guy you would think would be the biggest, best guy in the field, but had the heart and everything with it, and took him a long ways. So really got to know the entire team at Headstrong after that. And having a tremendous amount of cancer, including my wife, be a lymphoma survivor, and including having Lynch syndrome run in her family, which is a gene issue. These things have combined for a tremendous amount of cancer tragedy, and also just look into the world of dealing with cancer and understanding how complex it is and how difficult it is on families. So, you know, that all came together, and we were just really excited to be a part of it. And since then, it's been 3 or 4 years now, and I've enjoyed it, and it's something that I continue to give back to.
Yeah, that's great. And we'll talk a little bit about the team we're bringing to Placid this summer and our involvement there as well. But and I want to get into, Cheryl, I want to get into some of the exact services you all provide and those sorts. Yeah. And I have a bunch of other questions. But first, I want to introduce Ken a little formally to our listeners. Ken Clausen's with us as well. As I said on the intro, you know, he played at UVA. Was an All-American and also played in the Pro League, and then also coached most recently in the Premier Lacrosse League. My claim to fame with Ken is that I unsuccessfully recruited him while I was at Georgetown. He went to Virginia, but that's when I first got to know him, and he used to have these flowing locks and cool mustache, and now you're a cleaned up adult now. But I wanted to welcome Ken on and hear about your new role, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, so I joined the team, the Headstrong team, officially March 1st of this year, and I'm our national director of Attack Cancer. And so Attack Cancer is our national campaign geared towards youth and high school athletes, trying to provide them a platform to play for something more, right? To compete on the field, do something that they're comfortable with, playing lacrosse, playing any sport, and raising money through that involvement. And so we asked them to pledge a game, their season, their statistics, whatever they feel comfortable doing. They create a fundraising page, they share that online and social media, and they raise money for the Headstrong Foundation. And so it's something that that currently we've raised over $200,000, almost $210,000 this year alone. We've got almost 1,400 student athletes from across the country participating in Attack Cancer. And like Cheryl was saying, like the goal is to embody what Nick was and what he wanted, right? To be great servant leaders, to not just be lacrosse players, but to do more, right? And so we're giving them that platform to be able to do that, to allow them to compete in something they're really comfortable with, right? They're on field athletics, and to raise money to support families affected by cancer.
No, that's great. And you and I have gotten to know each other again over the last few months, getting prepared to bring a team to Lake Placid. I'll be coaching, and we're bringing a Headstrong team of some of the best players from around the country up to Lake Placid, you know, where Miracle on Ice occurred. And but it's one of the best lacrosse tournaments in the country. Really fun, beautiful environment. And, you know, we've got players from St. John's High School, College High School, from Gonzaga, from Georgetown Prep, from Malvern, from IMG, and I'm sure I'm missing others.
Ringside, Chestnut Hill.
Yeah, Chestnut Hill, Haverford, Bullis, you know, a lot of the big names, McDonough. And so, you know, we're really excited to get more involved on a really personal, individual level as coaches and parents. My son will be playing, and Mark's son will be playing. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and we look forward to, you know, spreading the message and raising money for you all this summer. So, we're excited for that. That's going to be great. Cheryl, I'd like to ask, or Ken, either one of you, could you dive into a little bit just the services that you provide?
Yeah, so, absolutely. You know, I know
a lot to talk about there as well.
Yeah. So three buckets, right? Three areas. Our emotional support, where we provide our head-to-head program. So we have somebody newly diagnosed. We marry them with somebody same age, same sex, same disease. And they really be able just to share stories and what worked and what didn't work and how they handled, say, how a survivor handled the anxieties and just like tips that, you know, you and I not affected really wouldn't know. And it really has proven to be successful because it gives the survivors almost like, you know, a purpose, like why I got this disease. And you really kind of just sharing very intimately what they went through. Also in that program is our comfort kits. We send out comfort kits all over the country, and we cannot keep up with the demand. As a matter of fact, on Friday, we had a packathon. We brought volunteers together and some corporate sponsors to help us, you know, underwrite the cost of the program. And we put together 3,500 comfort kits. And as quickly as they are put together is as quickly as they're going out. We do some In-person deliveries to those hospitals that allow that. A lot of it is male, and it's, you know, it's all cancer. It's all ages. We have two specs, a child and an adult, and it has 17 items that really lets people know, one, they're not alone, but two, items that they can use as they begin this cancer journey. And it's a great first introduction to the Headstrong Foundation, which has been since our inception. We issue financial aid on a monthly basis. Just last Friday, we issued financial aid to patients in 23 states. We cannot keep up with the demand. We're being referred by insurance companies, other organizations, American Cancer Society, Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, to juggle that process, but somehow we managed to get it done. Of course, our Knicks House, which is an unbelievable resource, you know, families that are traveling into Philadelphia for advanced cancer care because they've run out of options in their neighborhood. And, you know, we give them access to care and the affordability to do so. It is free of charge. We keep the family together. We actually have a local family from your area, that two families from your area that we're working with, a 5-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl. And they're traveling up to Children's Hospital. That is not an easy thing to do. And if you're here for radiation, it's every single day. It's impossible to make the commute. They're coming in.
So is that a house that's separate from the hospital, or is it a section? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a home. It is 15 minutes from the hospital. Easy access on and off on 95, or, you know, right up the street from the train if somebody has an immune system that can handle being around the public. But it's a beautiful 8,000 square foot home. And, we have had this program since 2011. We expanded in 2017 to the location that we occupy right now. It's actually on the campus of Swarthmore College. We can house 7 families very comfortably. And the families, believe it or not, become each other's support system.
That's awesome. My nephew plays basketball at Swarthmore, so I'll have to
check
it out.
Passes the house every day.
Yeah,
tell him it's great. The one with the lime green door.
Okay. He'll start to get involved. I'll put him in touch with
you.
Nice. Yeah.
So we are expanding that program. We are vetting, you know, Boston right now. We're very, very close to a decision there. And also Baltimore is in our future plans. And, you know, we like to align ourselves, one, up and down the corridor here where the La Crosse community has a lot of strength, and also the nationally recognized cancer institutions. And, you know, we know that an average stay for a hotel room, which it's not really conducive to be in a hotel room when you're undergoing cancer treatment, for a 30-day stay in Philadelphia is $10,000 a month. Now, where do you come up with that? That's not travel. Right. That's not food. That's nothing. That's the hotel room only. And believe it or not, it's with the discounts that the hospitals can offer. Boston is even more. And so, you know, we're really proud for the past 16 years that, you know, based on our own family's experience, like Nick, at the end of Nick's life, we had the opportunity to go to the NIH, National Institute of Health, and right there in Bethesda, Maryland. And I never,
we're like a mile from there right now.
Yeah. And so we went there and we were supposed to be there for 30 days. We packed up our car, we packed up our family, and off we went. And we were in a room that was 8x10, and the kids were on sleeping bags on the floor. And we were delighted to be able to have a place to put our head down, but thought to ourselves, if we could ever be in a position where we could offer a home-like setting where the family could remain together, we would do just that. And we opened our first Knicks House in 2011. And my husband and I, you know, we believe so fully and so deeply in what we do that we refinanced our house to purchase the first Knicks House. And my kids were scratching. The kids are like, why are you doing this? Because we want to give somebody the opportunity for a better outcome than the one that our family was dealt with.
That's amazing.
And so it has grown. You know, we work with social workers nationwide. They're the ones that are working with the docs to, you know, refer people in. We have an example. Like, we had an 8-year-old little boy who his dad was a self-employed painter. And this little boy had a very rare bone cancer. and he was going to UPMC for treatment, and we were involved in assisting there financially. And he called us out of the blue and said, "You're not going to believe this, but he has to have radiation in Boston. Like, it's not around the corner. How are we going to get there? How could we be there for 7 weeks? You know, we don't know if we're going to be able to do this, or we're going to make sure that this happens." And we were able to get somebody to give us a condo, and that family was able to go for that treatment and go the distance. And right now he is in complete remission. And so those are the things that we, you know, we love hearing. We gave them that opportunity. That was possible because of the Headstrong Foundation.
That's amazing. That is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. This is all of this is incredible.
Well, listen, every family has a story. There's special stories, and it's amazing to witness love, right? And so Headstrong is a labor of love. And, you know, this continues so that we can stay connected to Nick, and we keep him part of the, you know, the conversation. And yeah, it's emotional, but, you know, it's been just an amazing privilege.
It's fantastic. And I can relate to it being emotional. I still get emotional about my mom, and that was, you know, 25 years ago now. So I totally get it. And appreciate that.
Thank you.
So in that frame, I wanted to move on a little bit and talk about the name of Headstrong. Would you share with us? And I actually know the story and I love it, but I want you to share with our listeners.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Share with everyone. Well, where did it come from?
So when Nick was little, you know, we had four sons, right? And you know, being parents of multiple children, Mark, you can certainly relate. They're always breaking each other's stones, right? They're always teasing and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so my oldest son started to call Nicholas Head because his head was rather large. And I don't really want to tell you, like, Nick Head, you know.
Yeah.
And so he shortened it to Head. And I really didn't care for the name, but he loved it. And he hated it in the beginning, and then he loved it. And it stuck, and everybody knew him as Head. They didn't even know his name was Nicholas. And as a matter of fact, it is actually on his plate at the cemetery. I mean, he was very adamant about this name.
I love that. That's awesome.
Very proud of this name.
Yeah.
And so when he was, we were in the hospital room, and, you know, he woke me up. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's like, "I've got the name." And I said, you know, for the organization, he said, "Yeah, Headstrong." And I said, "Oh, I like it." He said, "But the head is always capitalized for me, and strong because I'm known for my mental and physical toughness. It just makes sense."
That was on the front end of everything being named something strong too. Like, you had Boston Strong around the bombing of the marathon and
this
everything
way
strong.
Before that.
Yeah. You guys were like one of the first.
I never heard it. Yeah. That was before any of this.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yes. It was way before. And I said, "You know what, if that's what you like." Now the font is actually Hofstra font. Like, he, you know, he would eat, sleep, and breathe his lacrosse. And, you know,
was Danowski his coach, or was it Tierney? Okay.
Yeah. John Danowski.
Before he went down to Duke. Yeah.
Yeah. Recruited both our boys. I'll tell you something, Nicholas. He was an emotional guy. Right. And he didn't care who saw him cry. And he cried when when Dino told him that he was taking the Duke job. And to be honest, John drove up from Duke to meet us at NIH. I mean, we have very close relationships still with these gentlemen.
I'm sure.
And Joe Amplow was a pallbearer. And Coach Tierney took over for Amplow, took over for Dino. And he actually called Nick. He said, "Nick, you're my first phone call." And Nick's like, "You know, I'm so worried about still being part of the team." And he said, "Are you kidding me? You are Hofstra lacrosse."
Yeah.
And, you know, Coach Tierney ended up stepping right in and was involved with Nick and with Michael. And he coached Michael for 3 years. And he actually gave the eulogy at Nick's funeral. And
well, Seth Tierney, you know, for those that don't know, I mean, Bill Tierney is legendary coach from Princeton and Denver, who just retired. And Seth Tierney is his nephew, I believe. Very successful coach in his own right.
Yeah.
So that's
it was amazing.
That is amazing. So,
Headstrong, well, you know, that head is always accentuated or capitalized, or, you know, we want people to ask, like, why is that? And then we get to tell the story. And, you know, the Fathead Award. So he's, you know, he's up at Hofstra and trying to, like, you know, Coach Stanowski said, let's try to keep him part of the game. And back then, listen, there wasn't streaming. There wasn't, you know, so they would overnight via FedEx to the hospital, a DVD of the game. Right. And Nick would watch the game and he would select, you know, the Coach Stanowski called him Fathead because he kind of bulked up and it was like teasing. And he said, hey, we want to do something. We want to do a helmet sticker, you know, and we want you to award it at every game. So during Michael's freshman year, at every game, Nick would do his best to get there if he wasn't in the hospital. And he would actually give the decal out for something that was over and above, not your typical, you know, not your typical stars, but, you know, who riled the bench and who brought the energy and who played with true heart and what an incredible ground ball. And, you know, what an incredible, you know, take or hit or whatever the case may be, or save or face off. And so he would award all during that year. And that continues today.
I wanted to ask, and Cheryl, I think you should start answering this, but I want to hear Ken's response too. The lacrosse community is really tight. Like, what is it about lacrosse and the community that, you know, allows you to rally around this with all of those people?
It's a wonderful family, and we're just so blessed that we have been embraced into it. It continues to be a very strong source of support and revenue for the organization. You know, it's amazing to be recognized in, you know, through the sport and through the work that continues in Nick's memory. You know, it's just been.
Ken, what about you? What about lacrosse that makes it special as it pertains to this?
Yeah, I mean, I think to piggyback a bit off what Cheryl said, it is like a family. I mean, I think the accessibility to the sport at any level, you know, the pros are accessible. You can see them, you can meet them. They're out doing clinics, they're helping coach, they're doing things in the community. Like, I think that, you know, one of my favorite things with lacrosse is just how you bring it up in conversation and you're undoubtedly going to have a mutual connection with the person you're talking to. Like, it always happens. You know somebody somewhere along the way that they know. And I think that resonates with everyone. You know, I think it's a sport that we certainly believe is growing and hope is growing, but it's still a relatively small sport. And so I think the degree of separation that you have in the sport is really special. And it can bring everyone together. You know, and I think that they, like Cheryl said too, they can resonate with what Nick was, you know, what he was on the field and what he started with Headstrong. I think with regards to Headstrong too, I mean, my feeling too, and why I've, you know, fell in love with the organization, you know, a long time ago, was that it's, you're helping people, you know, and you see the people in the faces that you're helping. And I think that just makes it real. And so I think that, you know, both the community itself of lacrosse is so tight knit, but the fact that you can see the faces, the families, the people that you're helping, you put a face to the name and know where the money's going. I think it makes it so tangible and so real. And the money you raise is making an impact. You know who it's going to and who it's helping and who it's supporting. And it makes a huge impact in people's lives.
Yeah.
Thanks, and Kenny.
Yeah, no doubt. And one quick question. So do you work predominantly with lacrosse or do you go into other sports too?
No, anybody and everybody. The penetration is lacrosse. Now, to be honest with you, Nick was a phenomenal football player. He was captain of football, wrestling, and lacrosse. He was a three-sport athlete, and just knew that, you know, at the collegiate level for football, he said, I'm going to be a punching bag. I want to be a playmaker. Hence, I'm going to, you know, follow this path for lacrosse. And I mean, he was so right. So
people who are interested in other sports could get involved as well. It's not.
Oh my
just
goodness!
Who
we've
like
got
lacrosse.
Volleyball. We have field hockey players. We have, you know, it doesn't matter. Soccer. We have distance running. We have whatever platform, whatever sport you want. We have a platform, you know, to offer to be able to continue to expand and touch as many lives as possible. And
that's an important thing for our listeners to know. Yeah. And I'll make sure we highlight that because they need to know this is not just lacrosse. We've been very lacrosse heavy, but in this conversation and, you know, it's
just the NFL
sport,
this fall, we had 13 NFL teams participating in My Cause, My Cleats. So we're involved in, you know, a variety of sport and, you know what, corporate support, funders, individual giving. There's a multi-pronged approach to our fundraising.
Yeah, we've got Team Headstrong, which is runners now that are starting to engage with the foundation and running for the charity or running for the foundation. So Team Headstrong is a newer, initiative of ours. Attack Cancer is, you know, predominant in lacrosse right now, but we're ramping that up to jump into other sports. Like, and I think, you know, the bottom line is too, that Headstrong's, they're certainly not just helping lacrosse families. Like it's
right, exactly.
It's families all walks of country.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, we have a spring appeal, a fall appeal, a year end appeal. You know, we received gifts from, major gifts. We just had someone that we assisted pass away, and they left us in their will. And, you know, so there's really the true philanthropy as well.
Well, that's great. Ken, I have one more question for you. I know you've been coaching and playing for a long time now, and now you're involved with Headstrong and you're not really coaching in the same capacity. What's the future hold for you? Are you just going to, you know, be doing this role, or is there more coaching or playing in the future for you?
Yeah, there's definitely not playing. No playing for me. I only move in straight.
Enough knee surgeries there.
I only move in straight lines nowadays. I have 4 ACLs, 5 surgeries. Like I'm not doing any lateral movements. No, I think in terms of coaching, I think it was, look, I love coaching so much. Like I love both the community. I think part of it is that I've had such great coaches in my life that made such a big influence on me. My high school coach, Ned Eye, my college coach and coaches, Dom Starza and Van Arsdale, and my whole, you know, swarming of assistant coaches. Like I've had so many, and even coaches that I didn't play for, I got to know Coach Tierney well in Denver. You know, like again, lacrosse is so close and tight knit that you get to make all these connections. I think that really, you know, steered me into coaching. And I think also getting hurt led me into coaching as well, starting to learn the game better and figure it out. But I've got a 2.5-year-old boy. I've got another boy coming here this summer. The commitment traveling every weekend just became a lot, you know, and I think, you know, spending time with family. Look, when we're talking about it, we know that time's precious, you know, and it's not guaranteed. And so I think that I want to be able to be around as much as I can my family. With regards to coaching, I'm sure I'm going to get back into it at some point when my son starts.
Of course you will.
Like, I don't know how I stay away too long. I've been already asking coaches who coach their son. I got to talk to you, you know, Matt, about it. Like, how do you handle coaching your son? And what was that like? What was that dynamic? Because I didn't grow up with my dad coaching me. And so I'm sure I'm going to get back in it at some point. I love it. Like, I love it.
And how's it been? You know, you've been there for a few months now with Headstrong. How's it been? Are you just learning the ropes? Are you putting your own stamp on things yet? Or how's that going?
Yeah, it's been great. Like I said, I mean, look, we've raised, you know, almost $210,000. I jumped in, you know, March is our biggest fundraising month for Attack Cancer. We're hoping to continue, you know, pushing this. We will continue pushing this throughout the summer and fall and getting more sports involved. But it's been chaos. Like there's been a lot happening with the spring. So in terms of putting my own stamp on it yet, I think that's still to come. We've got a bunch of ideas and things that we're talking about and working on. I think that as we start to grow Attack Cancer and other sports, that's going to start to leave my mark a bit. But it's been, look, I mean, I'm taking over for Jeff Baxter who started Attack Cancer and he's just done an incredible job. And it's been really cool seeing how he's done it and what he's done. There's some similarities between what we've done with Lack Stash Madness, which is where I've been working with Headstrong, you know, for the last 14 years. But there's a lot that's different as well, you know? And so it's been really neat learning from him and just being full-time with the foundation. Like I said, I love the foundation. It's why I've been working with them for 14 years. To be able to jump on in March is a dream for me. And so it's been a really exciting time. I'm excited to continue pushing and growing the campaign and working to help families affected by cancer.
That's awesome. Well, you're certainly making an impact.
Yeah, so, question for you, how can people support Headstrong and tell us how we reach out and provide that support? How do you donate?
So right through our website, headstrong.org/donate or /give. It's pretty easy. If somebody wants to, you know, mail in a check old school, that we accept that too. We welcome it. All donations are acknowledged within the guidelines of the IRS. And checks can be mailed and all that information is available on our website. And we encourage listeners to follow us on social media at Headstrong FND. And this way they can really keep current on all the wonderful things that are happening in Nick's memory.
And I think, and the thing that we're, and with Attack Cancer, something that we're starting, you know, we've had going for a few years and we're starting, you know, coach, you know, Matt, the team that you're coaching this summer as well. Like, we've got a team Attack Cancer team that's going up. And so what we've done, we've got a, you know, we've got a group of, you know, 25 to 30 players, some of the best players from across the country, players that are going into their senior year. They're already committed to colleges, going up to Placid, which isn't, you know, typically a recruiting tournament, right? We've tried to, we're calling this an experiential team, an opportunity for these players to, again, compete for something more, just like we talked about with Attack Cancer, but in a more intimate setting, multiple games, get more involved with the charity and the foundation, learn more about what this entails. And so we've actually got,
also raised funds for Headstrong too at the same
time. Absolutely.
Raise money for the foundation. And look, as an homage to their, you know, to their club programs, we're actually putting the patches of their club teams on the uniforms as well. You know, it's meant, these teams, Attack Cancer.
We're all in the fight against cancer together.
Yeah.
Right.
No doubt.
Yeah. We're doing this to help, you know, grow the awareness, to do a one-off tournament. You know, we've actually got, you know, that 2024 team going up to Placid. We've got an over 40 team Attack Cancer going to Placid. We've got a women's team playing in both Vail and Lake Placid for team Attack Cancer. So this is something that's starting to take off. And I think that if you've got a team, you know, especially, you know, what we've done is we're starting at that high school committed level and going up, rather than most club programs where they start there and go down in age. We want to go up, right? We want to go up in age. So if you have a college team, you want to get together with some of your friends and play in a tournament. We're getting a team at Ocean City. We're putting a team together at the Red, White, and Blue tournament in Maryland. Like, so it's really just trying to find groups of people that want to play. And again, compete for something more, do something more, make an impact while you're going out and having fun. That's what it's about. And so, you know, if you're out there and you're thinking of getting your buddies together and trying to figure it out, you know, we'd be happy to talk with you. We're asking you to fundraise. We can work on uniforms with you, and we'll put something together to help raise money and have some fun while you're doing it.
No, that's great. This has been really an interesting and inspiring conversation and insightful. Cheryl and Ken, thank you so much for being here. But before we let you go, I mean, anything else you want to say? I know we've covered a lot today, but we thank you for your time.
And I just want to say thank you so much for helping us keep Nick's, you know, vision alive. And we're thrilled to be able to have this conversation, to meet people like you as we go through our journey. And, you know, it just means the world.
It's the least we can do. We are completely inspired by what you've created out of a tragic situation and turned it into something so incredible. This is literally very moving and very emotional. So I just want to thank you very, very much, both of you very much for coming on today. And we look forward to a great future together.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you, Ken and Cheryl. All right. A big thank you to Cheryl Cullalore and Ken Clausen from the Headstrong Foundation for joining us today. Really incredible, meaningful work that they're doing. I know both Mark and I are really proud to be associated with it personally. We look forward to hosting many other industry leaders on future episodes, and we'd love to hear from our audience. So if you have a suggestion for a guest, reach out on social media at Weller Development on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. I'm Matt Rienzo, and he's Mark Weller. Keep building, people.